Yeah, okay. So it's December 12th, 2007. Okay, so we're doing, I guess, somewhat of a new sugya, but we're continuing Gimel and Beis. It's, I guess it turns out, it's a sugya a little bit of Makom B'Torah, right? But we have to know a little bit of background, okay? So a little bit of background is, the question is if, Abaye has an Ibaya. Okay? And the question is, if a person is standing, let's say, in a Rosh HaSeachid, okay, and he stretches his hand which has something in it, he stretches his hand out into the Rosh HaSarabim. Okay, so he's not supposed to do that. Okay, that's awesome. But if he does it, So the question is, so technically speaking, the hand is still, let's just say, or his Ibaya is, what's the status of the hand? And could you bring the hand back? Okay. Do you say that the hand is really just part of the body? Okay. In which case, the object never really left Rosh HaSayachid, in which case you certainly could bring it back, because it's just Rosh HaSayachid, nothing happened. Or do you say that the outstretched hand takes on a din of a karmelis? Okay? Karmelis is like a reshus, which is neither reshus yachad nor reshus harabim, and the rabbanon is usher to carry from reshus yachad or reshus harabim to karmelis, and the other way. So do you say that the outstretched hand is, so to speak, like a karmelis, because it's like in the reshus harabim airspace, but it's attached to the part of the body, which is reshus yachad? So do you say that is a din of a karmelis? And if you do say it as the din of a karmelis, now you're not allowed to bring your hand back, because you're not allowed to bring from a karmelis to Rosh HaSayachid, nor allow you to put it down. You're stuck. You're going to be stuck there the whole Shabbos. Okay? So do you say the outstretched hand as the din of karmelis, or you say no, it has the din of Rosh HaSayachid, and therefore you can just bring it right back? Okay, that's a bias ibaya. Okay? And it's simple. So now, so the Gemara brings in that there's a brisa that says it's mutter to bring it back, and there's a brisa that says it's also to bring your hand back. Okay? So the Gemara says, it's actually a machlokes tanaim. One brisa is taking one side of Abaye's Ibaya, another one's taking the other side. So Gemara says, no, not so fast. Really, everyone agrees it is karmelis. And you're not allowed to bring it back. But when it says that you could bring it back, you could bring it back, that's talking about lamayla me'asara. Okay, Lamayla Me'asara. So, of course, what does it mean, Lamayla Me'asara? So, let's go with Tosfos. Okay, so Tosfos learns it means you're allowed to bring it back by raising your hand up. Again, your hand is stretched into Rosh HaSarabim. Now, if you lift your hand up above 10 Tvachim, your hand in Rosh HaSarabim has a din of Makom B'Torah. Okay, and Makom B'Torah, the halacha is you're allowed to carry from Makom B'Torah to Rosh HaSayachid or Rosh HaSarabim. Okay, because it's like a non-makom, so to speak. Okay, so then you bring your hand above 10, and now your hand becomes, it ceases to be karmelis, now it becomes makom b'tor. It's in the makom b'tor. And now you go from makom b'tor back to Rosh HaSayachid. So he says, that's when the Gemara says it's mutter. It's mutter to bring, the Braisa was saying it's mutter, saying it's mutter to bring it back through above 10. Because then again, you're not allowed to go from karmelis to Rosh HaSayachid directly. But here, you're working out a trick. You're going above 10, so it's going karmelis to makom b'tor, which is mutter. Makom b'tor to Rosh HaSayachid, which is also mutter, and everything's great. Okay? But when it says it's aser, it means to bring it directly back. So really, everyone would agree it has a din of a karmelis, like one side of Abaye Zibaya. The only reason, the only question is, the Brises are talking about two different cases. Whether you bring it back directly, it's aser because it's karmelis. If you bring it back through above 10, then it's mutter because of makom b'tor. And that's the way Tosfos learns. That's the way Tosfos learns this whole case. Okay, that's the way he learns the Gemara. Fine. So now this is where the Rashba moves in. Okay. Now the Rashba moves in because there's a Gemara which presents a big problem here. There's actually two problems. So here's just one problem. One problem I just have for starters is before we get to the Rashba's kasha, but I have a kasha. Which I didn't really find. None of the Rishonim ask it. But the question is, the Rambam says like this. But it's based on the Gemara. I mean, we'll see. It's a continuation of Gemara we're going to do on Vav. The Gemara or the Rashba brings up. But I'll just read the Rambam. Motzi Rosh HaSayachid Rosh HaSarabim Va'avar al Makom Patur Shahayyabenei Ba'ali Chaso. So let's say you just walk out of your house. Okay, so it turns out your doorstep is the Makom Pitur. Okay, the threshold, the space there. So you walk from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and you pass through Makom Pitur while you're going. Chayav, you're chayav, shahamahalech, inokomed, because you're not stopping in the Makom Pitur, and walking isn't considered like stopping. So therefore, you're just going from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And the fact that you happen to bypass Makom Pitur in the middle is like a non-existent, because you didn't do Hanacha there, you didn't stop there, it's fine, so there's no... Right, he says, "Ve'ino tzarich lom b'zorik shavar hachefetz b'makom p'tor." Or if you throw it and it goes through a makom p'tor, also she'ino chashim k'mishal nachsham. You don't say it's like it's resting there. Okay, so you see right away. I mean, so you see that the halacha of makom p'tor, when you say you're potter, if you go from a rishus yachid to a makom p'tor or makom p'tor to rishus rabim, that's if you stop in the makom p'tor. If there's a hanacha in the makom p'tor. But our case isn't talking, it doesn't see anywhere. The case is talking about where you're putting the object down above 10. You're just bringing your hand back directly above 10. It doesn't say you have to stop or is stopping. I mean, that's the whole question whether stopping is even considered your hand stopping, right? That was the whole other sugya. But it doesn't say that you're stopping. It's just saying you're bringing it back, l'mayla miyod. So altogether, it seems to be, yeah, but you're not putting it, you're not stopping. There's no hanacha there. So basically, you're just going straight from Carmelis. So altogether, the question is, how is this whole thing working? But they're just taking that as a given. For some reason, they're just ignoring that. And they're just treating it as that's what's happening. It's as if you're going from a Karmelis to Makom Pitur, and then Makom Pitur to Rishus Yachid. Even though, in actuality, you're not doing two separate things, it's one thing. And you see why one thing, you're Chayev, Minat Torah, in a case of you're going from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim through the Makom Pitur. So I don't see why this is any different. Yeah. Let's keep the question in the background. Again, they're ignoring it, so let's ignore it, okay? There's some ignoring it, we'll get back to it. I'd like to get back to it, but I think for a time being, let's just pretend the problem doesn't exist, and let's just move forward, okay? Fine. So that's what they're treating it like. Okay, so now the Rosh Hashanah is bothered by a different problem, okay? He's saying, granted, you want to say it's like it's going through Makom Pitur, it's like it's resting in the Makom Pitur, no problem. But the problem is like this. This is based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Vav. Gemara in Vav and Aleph. Yeah, Vav and Aleph. It says, okay, Adam Omed Al Heskupa. So if a guy's standing on this threshold, okay, it's on, yeah, Vav and Aleph. It's like 10 lines of the mountain. No, tell me Bala Bias. They know Saint Lo, he could take an object from the Baal HaBayis or give it back to him because he's in Makom Pitur. And the Baal HaBayis is in Rosh HaZiyachid. So he's just transferred Makom Pitur to Rosh HaZiyachid. He could do it all day long. No tell me ani, they know Saint Lo. Or he could take something from the guy who's in Rosh HaZiyachid and go back and forth all day long also. Well, Bavad Shalai, tell me Baal HaBayis, they know Saint Lani. As long as he doesn't create the chain. As long as he doesn't machlif the object from the ani to the, I think that's what machlif, I look there. It means that you don't change the object from the ani to the rishah to the malbayis. And as you can take one object from the ani back and forth or from the malbayis back and forth, as long as you don't change an object from the ani, or you don't make a chain. Okay, you can't do it that the ani gives it to you and then you give it to the malbayis. That's not allowed. Okay, as long as you don't do that. Okay, so you can involve two of these rishayos, but once you go across, that's bad. That you're not allowed to do. Okay, but if you do, it says, v'im nata avinasan, shlashtam p'turim. But if you do, they're all pater. Okay? If you do, they're all pater. So it's a darabana. Okay? It's a nisadarabana. Okay? You're not chayev for doing it, but if you do it, it's a nisadarabana. Okay. So let's see Rashi. The question is, what's this darabana, right? You did this, right? Yeah, this is, okay. So Rashi says, he says, "Adam omed al skupa, no tell me ani haomed bechutz v'nosi and lo v'zem makom p'tor shos kalamayel. This is makom p'tor. She'eno chashev v'shos la'atzmo. It's not considered its own rishos. Lefi she'eno rachav nalid. Can the farsha come on? Because it's not. It doesn't have the right dimensions. U'batol leitzor shos yachad leitzor shos rab. So it's batol to both rishos. Rishos yachad and rishos rab. U'vad shel yitol demizalzele beisurei shabbos." Because you're being mezalzel in the Isser Shabbos. Ligrom hotzah mir Rishus Yachad Rishus Rabim. To cause hotzah from Rishus Yachad Rishus Rabim. Okay? So apparently it's not good to do that, to be mezalzel in the Isser Shabbos. V'gezerah. That's a different idea. Gezerah dil ma'asi la'akule. Perhaps you'll come to be light. U'la'afuke la'hedja mir Rishus Yachad Rishus Rabim. And you'll openly carry it directly from Rishus Yachad Rishus Rabim. Okay, so it's a gezerah. It's a gezerah that if you're going to be allowed to carry, to go from the Shiachat to the Balamakam Torah to the Rosh Hasharavim, that perhaps you're going to do it from directly. Okay? So we mentioned last time, it's a question, because just say that. And that would have been simple. It's a gezerah. We understand what gezerahs are. We understand that gezerah means that if you're going to do this, it doesn't seem so far-fetched. Yeah, it makes sense. That's what you probably would have asked you. What's the problem with doing this? Is you'll say it's a gezerah because you're going to come to do it directly. But what does Rashi have to say? Because you're being mezalzel in Isser Shabbos l'chachilo. I mean, is there an Isser to be mezalzel in Isser Shabbos? Is that an Asser? If it's Asser, then you don't tell me gezerah. Just say it's Asser because I'm not allowed to be mezalzel in Isser Shabbos. So unless you'll say there's nothing wrong with being mezalzel in Isser Shabbos, halachically. So why is Rashi mentioning it? I mean, just say that. It's a gezerah. Like, what's the deal here? Right, why is Rashi mentioning this zilzal? Why is he throwing that in? Why is that relevant? Okay, so this is the halacha that basically. So we have this question, right? So we have a question now. So what's the question is what's Rashi bringing the zilzal for, right? What's that having to do with it? Okay, so I'm thinking along lines of what Ariel's saying is that because my question is more is like. Why is Rashi bringing in this whole thing of mezalzel? That's really my question. I mean, I understand he's saying that by being mezalzel, so you're going to end up coming to do this or whatever. You know, I could hear the mechanics of it, but I just don't see why. Like, you don't normally do that. I mean, you explain the gezerah because it will lead to the deraisa. You're not allowed to do a derabana, any derabana, because it will lead to the deraisa. Anything. You can do shahiyah because you do shahiyah. You can have the miuchatu of the cholim. You don't have to start giving me all kinds of explanations of because of mezalzel. Mezalzel is like sounds getting like fuzzy a little bit. Why do you have to bring that in where it could just be explained? The straight thing. If you do this action of carrying from the Rishzal to the Rishzal through the Makom Tor, you're going to do it without the Makom Tor, and then you're going to be chayv the Doraisa like a regular gezerah. So I think it's saying the point here is that it's different than a normal gezerah because, like Ariel's saying, is that they're really in action. See, in Maisa, you can't really get this like a normal gezerah because what you're really doing is you're doing two separate things. Whereas I'm giving the object to the guy on the doorstep. Step one, that's one action. And then the other guy has another action of going from the Makom Torah to the Rishzal. And neither of those actions is really anything. It's not even done to the Deraisa. I mean, the Deraisa, I mean, I'm allowed to do either action, actually. I'm allowed to carry from Shaziyah to Makom Torah. Or from Rishzal Rabbah, from Makom Torah Rishzal Rabbah, they're 100% legitimate. So there's nothing wrong with either of those actions. You can't tell me, like, what's the gezerah on? Like, which action exactly is the problem? I mean, there are two separate things here. There's one akira and another anacha. Each one's separated by akira and anacha. So, like, where's the, what are you going to say? It's like domet to the raisa. It's a mutter. The whole thing is mutter. I'm not really doing anything, you know? I'm not doing anything wrong, even. You know? So, there's nothing in the action. There are actions which are not asr midrabban, and there are actions which are mutar midrabban. There's no asr like that. So he's saying is that so in action there's really like normally in action you say it's like domet to malacha or something like that. You have certain drabbans are domet to malacha or they're yavali de malacha. But here like the action either the action you're doing the two separate actions neither one of them is domet to the malacha nor is also yavali de malacha. But the point is that it's true there are two actions, but in terms of the people involved, there's really a process going on here. I mean, they're really doing is they're trying to bring about hotzah by avoiding the technical structure. I mean, what they're really doing, even though technically yes, they're two separate actions, but they're being goreim like Rashi says, you're being goreim hotzah mershiach l'shus rabim. You've worked out a way where halachically you're not doing this at all, but you're basically bringing about the malachas otzah. Okay, the productivity and of malachas otzah you're doing, but in action you've managed to avoid the halachic system. Okay, so there's nothing intrinsically there's nothing usher about that per se, but the point is that since you're doing that, and as the rabbanon are saying is that it's like that activity. Whereas the activity can't be defined like mechanically. You can't define the activity like mechanically. It's mechanically you do the two separate actions, which have nothing to do with the deraisa. But the activity is defined vis-a-vis the gavras. You know, I mean that the gavras are bringing about. They're being gorei mahotza from Rishzal Rishzal Rabim. Okay, and as gorei mahotza is like a It's a pro. It's like an. It's like an act. Like a. It's an. It's like a human involvement, so to speak. It's not really a mechanical action. It's they're involved in bringing about the productivity without any real specific action. So it's saying is, but there's a guy. That's a guy. It's a kind of a gavra. The gavra is bringing about. He's being goreim. He's being goreim the productivity without any the maisesser. But the thing is that you're not allowed to, so to speak, not allowed to be that kind of gavra, because that's going to cause you to end up doing the technical violation. Whereas by doing the bringing about the result, you're going to bring it's going to lead to doing about the it's going to lead to bringing doing the technical structure. You know what I mean? But he has to bring in the mezalzal, I think, because he has to show that the relationship, the fact that it's a goreim is not, can't be reduced to a mechanical definition, because mechanically there's just two separate actions and then do with one another. But it's, insofar as if you ask the people, I mean, what's really happening here, insofar as the, like, deep, if you really ask the guys, if you're honest about it, they're being mezalah, they're bringing about, they're being goreim, hotzomer, shoshoshos. So the activity in the human framework, that's what they're doing. They're involved in, in terms of the gavras, they're involved in being goreim otzomer shlosor shas. So it's saying is that the rabbanon answered that activity of being goreim otzomer shlosor shas, because being goreim otzomer shlosor shas is a bali day, the actual maisa of otzomer shlosor shas. You know what I mean? Yeah. The point is like without it's like sounds like Rashi is imputing a psychology to these guys. It's like they're being mezalzel in Esor Shabbos, you know. They're trying to cause the go to the so I'm saying is you're right. He is saying that because without that, if you didn't have like a psychological, if you didn't figure out that they were trying to do that, if you just looked at it just in a purely physical mechanical sense, you'd have like, for instance, well, if you did so, one guy did or shasiyachet to makom tor, and then 10 hours later the other guy does the other way, and they have nothing to do with one another. So then, really, what's wrong with that? They're two separate activities. Neither one of them is aser. What's the problem? Well, the only problem is because that's not what's happening here. What's really happening is you have a team of guys who figure out, wait, we want to do Otzah. But the Torah says we can't do it. We're not allowed to do it. So let's work out a way that we could be involved in bringing about the activity of Otzah, the result of Otzah, without doing the technical tzura of Otzah. So what's saying is that because of the fact that that's what's going on here, so the halacha defines this activity as an activity of being. There's an activity of being goreim motzamir shoshoshos. Even though in the physical action, there's no physical action of goreim motzamir. There's no such thing as that. There's two physical actions. One is shoshoshos yachad magum tor, and one is magum tor shoshoshoram. But the difference between like, but the human activity is an activity of goreim motzamir shoshoshos. And they're saying if you do the activity of goreim motzamir shoshoshos, you're going to do the maisa of hotzamir shoshoshos. I'm kind of differentiating between two categories, and we used these categories before. It's like there's been an activity and an action. As an activity is like an action is like a physical, like a mechanical kind of a thing. You know, it's like hotzah from shziyachid. In action, these are two separate things: shziyachid to makom b'tor to shesarav. But in like a human activity, these two actions become unified in one process. We're involved in being goreim. The people are involved in being goreim otzomer shoshos, and the rabbanon are assuring that involvement, that activity of being goreim otzomer shoshos. But that's a kind of it's not an action being goreim. It's like an abstract human involvement. It doesn't couldn't show, like, what's the tzura of being goreim otzomer shoshos? It's because of a psychology. It involves the fact that these people are getting together and involved in that. Otherwise, you can't say they're a goreim otzomer shoshos. I'm just doing one thing, and he's doing another thing. That has nothing to do with me. But Chazal are saying that this is defined. The hachila, they're being goreim otzomer shoshos, and they're saying that activity of being goreim otzomer shoshos is going to lead to a maisa otzomer shoshos, and that's this deraisa, a maisa otzomer shoshos. It's true. I mean, I think the question was the lashon lekulei. Like what he's saying is, I think he's saying is because maybe he's answering the other question is like, why do we care? Why do we care that the guy is being mezalel? I mean, look, halacha is halacha. There's a halachic stress system, and he's working out a way that's not the halachic system. Like, well, we don't answer that. I mean, I don't know if it's a high level or whatever. I mean, but this is a legal system. A legal system has a technical structure, and why we answer? Well, since when do we answer a guy who's trying to work out a way to get around the halacha? I mean, it's just not. You don't do that. I mean, that's, I see perfected. Maybe it's not perfected, but it's not halacha. Halacha is halacha. It's a system. What it's saying is because the mentality of the Mezalzel B'Sorei Shabbos is the mentality of a guy who's going to be Mekil and do the action itself. Because what's happening is the guy, I guess the thing is the guy doesn't do things because he's a certain thing. Look, this is every Shabbos, the things which are in your house, they don't end up outside. And that's a certain idea. I can't do that. It's a Shabbos. I can't do it. I can't do it. Now, once you start, a guy starts working out plans of being able to get it out, he, so to speak, breaks down boundaries. You know, there's certain natural boundaries that stop a person. There's certain things you just can't do. You know, now once you allow him to, Chazal or Mishar, once you allow him to bring about Hotzah, so then he's going to end up doing Maaseh Hotzah. You know what I mean? Like, there should be a certain division in a person's mind. There's Rishus Rabbah objects, and there's Rishus Yachad objects. And you don't break that line, you know? And that's what allows, Hotzah is a hard malacha, like we saw. Like, a person is tends to do it, people do it all the time, because it's, like, very common, it's easy to violate. And what allows you to, could be what allows a person to not violate it is because he has a strong division in his mind between Rishus Harab and Rishus Yachad. You don't cross the line. You don't bring objects from one to the other. Now, if you allow guys to work out a way to overcome that problem, even though technically it's fine, and technically it wouldn't be Asar. But the problem is that once those barriers are broken down, because always then the guy's going to end up doing Otsah. You know, he's going to be Mekil, and he's going to end up breaking it down. Like, I don't know if it means he's going to do a bit mazed, but I think it just means his vigilance is going to become compromised. And a certain vigilance, so there's the Yachur, there's the Rabban, it's a strong division in a person's mind, and that allows a person to be able to protect himself against doing Hotzah. But once he starts accomplishing the result of it, he's going to be Mekel. So it's going to create a certain psychology here where the guy is prone to being Mekel and actually doing this with the Arisa. You know, it's right. It's because of the mentality that's going to lead to it. It's not because the action is anything. There's nothing wrong with the action. It's because there's nothing wrong with the action of doing it. It's because the action there really has nothing to do with the deraisa. The action is two separate actions under the deraisa. But there's a psychology to the action, which is one which leads a person to that psychology leads to the violation. Yeah. Just put down because that was the question of Mezalzel. Sounds from Rashi's Lashon that it's not only bad because what it will lead to. I mean, that's why they made the Gezeira, but it's bad intrinsically because he's calling it Mezalzel B'Esar Shabbos. And it sounds like it's not good. It doesn't sound like it's okay as long as it doesn't lead to this. It sounds like that's bad philosophically, but halachically it's also because you'll be Mekel Yoser, you'll be more Mekel and it'll lead to. But the question is why is there anything wrong with it philosophically? What's wrong with it? Like your mezalzel is so shabbos. Like Johnny was saying, is this halacha is a legal system, a legal structure system, and as such, there are laws and there's structures to those laws, and the system is limited by the structures. And is there anything wrong with going around? Like we said, for instance, when it comes to basar v'chalav, if you ended up having human milk, for instance, isn't considered milk halachically. So is there anything wrong, or let's say you have a fake hamburger with cheese. Is there anything wrong with, like, you're going around halacha? Is there anything wrong with your mezalzel b'Esar with meat and milk because you're eating a fake hamburger and milk? There's no halacha like that. There's nothing wrong with that. So if that's the case, so what's the problem here? So you're working out a way to get around the halacha structure. But what we're saying is that it does seem like, let's say you have Avodah Zarah, you wouldn't say that. Like, if you have Avodah Zarah, it's a halachic structure. If you could end up working out doing Avodah Zarah without the halachic structure, you're certainly a bad guy. Maybe it may not kill you, but you're certainly a very bad thing. So you say the difference seems to be is that there's the different types of Yisurim. Like, when you're dealing with, like, an intrinsic philosophical problem, which halacha gave a structure to, like Avodah Zarah, so it's a philosophical evil, but it's halacha is halacha, and halacha is everything is formulated halachically with a scientific structure. So now, if you work out a way around this structure, but you're still doing the philosophical activity of Avodah Zarah, of course it's bad. But in Basar V'Chalav, there is no like philosophical activity of eating meat and milk. It's the reality is the halacha. Now there may be a philosophical reason why Hashem chose that structure, but the reality is the halacha. And therefore, if it's not the halachic isser, then it's not the halachic isser, and it's 100% mutter. There's nothing wrong with it. So the thing is that it could be in Shabbos, it's more like Avodah Zarah than Basar V'Chalav. Because Shabbos halacha of Sheish Yom Tassan HaMelech Tahu Yom Shi Tishpos, because it's the oath, it reflects the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ma'aseh Bereishis. So the idea is that you cease your malacha on the Yom HaShvi'i and you reflect on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Borei Olam. And now it's true that took on, and you see, for instance, as it says, Avraham Yisrael and Yaakov, is that the Avos were evolved. According to the Rishon, everyone holds the Avos kept Shabbos. Whether you hold they did the Targum Mitzvahs or not, it's we say that there's a Nuchuvo, they kept Shabbos. So the idea is, it seems to be Shabbos is, it's the Ramban talks about it. Ramban says that they definitely did it. Even Ramban, when he talks about the Targum Mitzvahs, he says that. But he says that they kept Shabbos anyways, because it teaches Yosef Mitzrayim. He says Avos only kept the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, but he says Shabbos, you see, in Mitzrayim, Yosef was keeping Shabbos, and he had a raya from Chazal. But he says because Shabbos is osam chiddush ha'olam, and therefore that you always keep that. So he says because Shabbos is again Shabbos reflects, is a reflection on the Borei Olam. So if that's the case, now it's true that given that it's a halacha, the lamentas, there's lamentas malachos, and there are technical structures to those lamentas malachos, and therefore if you work out, but if you work out a way to get around the structure, but you're involved in the productivity of basically being motzi objects and reshiach reshus harabim, but you manage to work out a way to avoid the productivity, so then you're involved in undermining the day. And that's a mazal, and it's Yisur Shabbos. That's bad. That's wrong. Because you're basically doing, you're an osam malacha on Shabbos without, philosophically, or the human beings are osam malacha. But you're not technically, the structure the Torah gave it, you're not doing. So therefore that's wrong. But it wouldn't be usur if not for the fact that that attitude would lead a guy to be mazal, to be mekil, and to actually do it open directly. To do this deraisa, because that's the Darabana. There normally, there's no isur to be philosophically corrupt. But there is an answer to do that. If it's not corrupt, it will lead you to violateness of the rice, and the Rabbana moved in and answered it. Yeah, it's actually good. It's like you see on Shabbos, like Tishbos, you know, that thing of Lenevot to Tishbos, Fiyam Dvar Mishayna Malacha. There's a mitzvah Lishbos by him. So you see, Shvisa on Shabbos is a mitzvah to be Shoves on Shabbos, even from things that are Malacha. Because it's a Yom HaShvi Tishbos. It's a reality beyond the technical structure. Yeah, David's mentioning the Rebbe had a tape, the Lamanya Nuach. The Rambam leans Muktzah on the Man Yinuach, which is the objective of Shabbos, but they lean the Rabbanans on that. So that's the objective. I mean, Shabbos is definitely time. Shabbos isn't just a technical structure. I mean, certain mitzvahs are a technical halachic structure, and there's nothing, there's no perfection of, you know, of mezalzel. There's no sling as a mezalzel, but this Shabbos is certainly is tied in with the philosophical ideas. The person goes against them, he's a mezalzel on Isra Shabbos. It's bad. To clarify, is that what he's doing is he's mezalzel in Isra Shabbos. That's what he's doing. That's what I'm saying, is that that's what he's doing. And that's wrong. It's wrong philosophically. He's mezalzel in Isra Shabbos by doing this because he's bringing about malacha. But it's nothing. It's wrong philosophically. But you wouldn't have a gemara saying you're not allowed to do that because that's philosophy. It's not halacha. Halacha is halacha, and there's no isra like that. So, but the thing is that halacha recognizes that that is what you are doing, and the Rabbanan say, since you're doing that, the personality, the guy who's mezalzel in Usur Shabbos, is omed to, he's bound to be mekel yoser, so to be mekel and to actually do this with the reisel itself. So the mezalzel per se is philosophically bad, but not halachically yoser. But it becomes halachically yoser because that philosophical thing leads a person to really doing the halachic yoser. According to the evaluation of the Chachamim and making this gezerah. So he's explaining to you where the Chachamim are coming from in making this gezerah. It's not a normal halachic gezerah. And that's what he said originally. It's not a normal halachic gezerah because it's like Doma. It's not. It's based upon that the person is involved in mezalzel Isra Shabbos. And that's where he doesn't want to make it sound like it's just a normal technical gezerah. It's like a guy's going to do a, he's doing this thing and it'll end up, it'll lead to that. I mean, one thing will lead to another. He's showing it's based upon the mezalzel. Without the mezalzel, without the person being, without the element of the gavra being mezalzel, it wouldn't be leading to it. He's showing you where the gezer is coming from. Okay? This chiluk I'm saying about the difference between Shabbos and Shabbos and like Treif, you know whose chiluk it is? It's the Rambam. The Rambam, where he talks about, it's not in this exact context, but he talks about that question of Oved Me'avon, Oved Mi'ira. You know, it says, where is it? It's in, I think it's in Shemona Prat. But he basically says, on the one hand, it seems like Chazal hold, it's better for a person who just naturally, it does the mitzvahs like Me'ava. Like he just naturally is drawn to do the right thing. You know, a person, that type of person. It shouldn't be like Kovish. A person shouldn't be involved in, shouldn't want to do Avodah Zarah, but he's controlling himself. I mean, no, that's the person's Ovei Me'avah is better. But on the other hand, Chazal say, it says, Al Tomar Yi Efshi B'Basar Chazir. And you shouldn't say, I don't like it, I don't eat treif, I don't like it. You say, no, on the contrary, you say, I like treif, and I want treif. But the Torah Hashem says, I can't eat it. You know what I mean? So that seems to be that it's not me'ava, that's an idea like, he says, he has to be kovish as yetzer. So it sounds like on the one hand, he says, Chazal seem to endorse the attitude that you should want it, but control yourself. On the other hand, it seems to be the attitude of, no, you should not want it. You should just naturally do the good. So he says the difference is, there are two different, I forgot exactly how he says this, it's been a while, but he says there are two different kinds of Yisurim. The Yisurim which are like intrinsic, like so to speak, philosophical, this is the way I remember it. I don't know how he uses these words, but there's intrinsic philosophical realities that are intrinsically evil or intrinsically good, like a gazela. A person wants to steal, that's an imperfection of the person. So a person shouldn't say, I want to steal, but I'm not allowed to. That means his midos are corrupt. A person should naturally, there's certain Yisurim which just naturally flow from a person's perfection. And for a person to be a kovish yetzer with regard to those, that's a lack. I mean, it's a good idea, but the higher level is a person who just naturally is in line with the idea that Lashem was Malawa and there's bailus and I can't take someone else's thing. A person shouldn't be egotistical and think the whole world is there to serve him. And if a person feels that way, that's a lower level person. The person who's in line with the true reality of God's universe is a higher level person. But that's when an Isser which touches on a true philosophical idea. But when you have like a law, like a halachic structure, it's based upon it. There's always a philosophical reason why God set it up. But halachically, it's a law. And there's nothing wrong with treif, besides the fact that Hashem said, you know, let it do it. There's no such thing that a person who is naturally perfected would not eat pig. Would do shechita in this exact way. I mean, why would a person do that? It's a halacha. It's a gezerah from Hashem. So there may be a reason why he did it, but a person should want to eat pig. Pig tastes very good, and the very perfection is that a person realizes that he has to subordinate himself to a Kosh Baruch Hu. And that is, that's an exercise in perfection, and that's the level. If a person says, I don't like treif, then he's not getting the perfection out of, the whole perfection is that you're controlling your instincts. If you can tell yourself you don't like pig, then you're not controlling yourself. Then you just, you're not doing, then you're losing the perfection of these mitzvahs. So two different kinds of mitzvahs. So I'm saying the same thing here, is that you can't be mezalzel in that kind of an isser. Because that isser, the technical law, that is the reality of the law. So you can't be mezalzel in it, either you're doing the law, you're violating the law, you're not violating the law. If you're not violating the law, that's great. Then eat it. Go ahead. You work out a way to get pasta v'chala, maybe meat and milk, which isn't really this. So great. What's wrong with that? I think there's a Chazal that says that. There's a Gemara that says that. Like someone said, is that you're allowed that you could, all these sermon Torahs are really about this. Dam, you could eat dam of the, something else that tastes very, liver tastes very like dam, because it's a lot of blood in it. And even when you eat the malicha, it's mutter. And the pasta v'chala is by pasta v'chala. And it's, of a yibum, you could have a rayas, right? You have all the, it goes through, it shows how. but that kind of a thing, you can't be mezazel in Yisur and that kind of an Isser. But an Isser, which is like a Gzela or like a Zorah, like Shabbos, which are this, like the Rambam's talking about those mitzvahs where Oved Me'ava is the level. So if you're Oved Me'ava, you're not looking for a loophole. On the contrary, you're mezazel, but you're looking for a loophole. Maybe we should have to look at the Rambam. I'm pretty sure it's in Shana Prakam. So our next thing for tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. I'd like to. We'll see what happens. I could be in a final. I don't know. I plan on the giving tomorrow. I think it should be fine. What we'll do is the Rashba. Oh, so the Rashba's Kasha. So this is the Rashba's Kasha. Because you see, you're not allowed to go from Rosh Hashanah to Shas Rabban through Makom Bator. That's awesome. That's just the Rabbanon. So how could you take the Carmelis? How could those say you did Carmelis, you put your hand above 10 and then into the Rosh Hashanah? But isn't that this Isser? That's what you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to use Makom Bator like that. So you're causing a Hotzah from Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah. So one answer, he says, no, that's the only way to do it. There's a Machlokas where that applies by Carmelis, by the Rabbanon. So one answer is it doesn't apply by the Rabbanon altogether. So by Carmelis is Mutter. The other answer is no, it does apply, even by Carmelis. But not this kind of Carmelis, not the Carmelis the Yad, where the hand becomes a Carmelis, that's a different kind of Carmelis, for some reason. So so we'll go from there, okay? And so it's Machlokas whether it applies by Carmelis, so I'd like to define that. It's Machlokas every Rishonim, I think. Whether this Isser applies by Carmelis or not. Okay, we'll see, it's all in the Rashba. The Rashba leads you through it. Yeah.